This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the Different Strokes Effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, I have, like, I'll be honest, I'm not really up with what the cool kids are into. So when you said, oh, I'm going to cover photo bombing, I was a bit like, okay, well, I think I kind of know what you mean, because I know there was someone that I used to work with who had, there was this Facebook group about, it was something to do with like random rangers. Now, no offense to redheads, I'm not meaning, I'm just telling, there was this Facebook,
just saying.
There was this Facebook group where what happened was the whole concept of the Facebook group was that you were supposed to get a picture of yourself with some random redheaded guy or girl or whatever in the background.
Yeah.
So it was like it was around the time that Summer Heights High was on, and you know that whole there was, you know, a whole resurgence of like ranger-like jokes going around. Aww. But yeah,
it was a tough time for the ranger community.
It was a tough time, and it's always a tough time for the ranger community.
Well, ever since Rick Astley and Pauline Hanson came around. I mean, I know Nicola Roberts from Girls Aloud has been, you know, flying the flag.
Hello, for Scully.
Ain't nobody cares about Scully anymore.
Scully's like the hottest ranger ever.
No, she's not. I'm sure I can think of hotter rangers. Eric Castle. If you don't know who Eric Castle is, he's this new pop artist from Sweden, and he's got like big curly red hair. He's a hot ranger.
No. Don't be bagging on Scully.
Don't be dissing on Scully. But in any case, tonight what I thought I'd talk about is photo bombing, mm-hmm. in the essence. So it actually, well, you've touched on it there. So it essentially is trying to ruin other people's photos. That's the point of it, right? Not so much trying to capture someone in the background, but you as a person would be interrupting someone's photos.
Okay.
So there's an art to it, okay? Mm-hmm. There's an art to ruining people's Kodak moments, and it's all about timing, it's all about precision, and it's all about the expression.
Okay.
And not being caught. There's an art to it.
Okay.
So, I mean, we live in a day and age now where, like you said at the start of the show, it's all about people have got, you know, camera phones, people have got digital cameras. It's so much easier and it's so much quicker for us to take a photo, upload it on the internet and share it.
Mm.
But it's also making it hard for real photo bombers and real photo jackets out there as well, because back in the old film camera days, you can jump in a photo and they won't realize it until the photo gets developed.
Yes.
But now you could almost just go, oh, hang on, who's that dude? Why was he in my wedding photo? So basically how I stumbled upon this was a friend of mine, Scott, was on, you know, I was looking at people's Facebook walls and he was just, I'm so addicted to this website. I know I should be studying for my exams, but I'm so distracted by this website. So I went to it and it's called This Is Photobomb. It is so hilarious, like looking at all the different categories and different kinds of photo bombs. So basically you get wedding photos, you get people dancing in a club.
Yeah.
Now, last week, on the weekend actually, Jade and I and quite a number of Joy folks, after celebrating Joy's Sweet 16, we went out, we hit Commercial Road and we got, it was a fairly debaucherous night out.
Debaucherous.
It was nasty. I was sober, might I stress.
We were all sober.
You're lying. Your hips don't lie. And your hips didn't lie that night. So there were lots of photos and of Jade dancing and all that. So moments like that in a club as well. Mm-hmm. I have to say, perfect opportunity for photo bombing.
Mm-hmm.
People always taking pictures of themselves dancing. So as a photo bomber, if you want to actually hijack a scene, so to speak, you got to target public places like clubs or bars where people aren't aware. They're drunk, they're just taking photos, and you know, that billions of people in the background. You can pull a face.
Can I ask a question about this photo bombing website?
Yeah.
So is it the people who have been bombed that are posting these?
I think so, because they're the ones with the photographic evidence.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they're taking part in it and going, okay, I admit it, I was photobombed.
Because you can't, like, because the interesting thing about it is, right, you can't even take pride in the fact that you've bombed someone's photo because you don't have the evidence.
That's true.
Like, you can't be like, oh, isn't that hilarious? I was so funny. Like, you don't, you might not ever get to see it.
Unless you're like, you know, all friends and they put a photo up on Facebook or, you know, this is our group's night out and I'll look at little Richie in the background just pulling a face and,
So it could be a thankless craft, really.
It is a thankless craft, and that's why if you're a serious serial photo bomber, you would go to these websites and try to see if someone's uploaded.
Can you tag someone?
No. How would you know your photo bomber is normally like just a random at a club or a restaurant? You're like, oh, who's that?
Yeah, but can't they go in and tag themselves and then they could, you know, go around and be like, this is my handiwork?
Do you really want to confess to the people that you've ruined the photos of? Like, hey, this is me. Come get me. I ruin your wedding photos.
What are you going to do? It's online.
Yeah, but you can also not admit to it because the photo will be up on the internet, Jade, and ain't nobody going to know it's you unless your friends happen to see and go, oh, I work with him. I can't believe he did that photo. So in any case, like I said, clubs, bars, pubs, those kind of places are good. Family get-togethers, tourist spots are the best.
I actually can't wait till you get back from your next holiday because you, like your holiday shots are always hilarious.
Yeah, but you see, I'm very careful to make sure that I am the star of the photo, that no photo bomber is going to steal my shine, you know. I make sure that where I'm posing.
There you go, photo bombers. There's a challenge right there.
There's a challenge.
Ruin a David Lim picture.
Try to ruin a David Lim pose and photo moment. Yeah, I dare you. Come with me to Taj Mahal and the Great Wall of China. Let me see you try. But, so crowded places, tourist spots are great. You really have to be on your ball as a photo bomber. You got to watch out for groups quickly forming. Almost sounds predatory. You're at a restaurant, you're having a nice steak, and a little family at the back is gathering around little Johnny to blow out the candles on his birthday cake. And you just be thinking, this is a great photo bomb opportunity. You got to be quick like that. Think of couples putting their arms around each other. Think of when you hear people say, get closer, or to the left a bit, or say cheese. Any of those keywords, it's your moment.
You've got to be hyper aware.
You have to be very alert as a true photo bomber. You have to be ready for these moments. Timing is key. You can't jump in too soon or too late. You can't just pop your head in too late because that obviously misses the point. You have to coordinate. And it really helps if there's an Asian person behind the camera. Because us Asians, we love counting. Yeah. We count in. 1, 2, 3. Say cheese. So you as a photo bomber know your cue.
Okay.
We count you in.
So you've got to wait till the right moment too because you don't want to be in too early, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
You got to develop a style. As a photo bomber, you have to – I mean, if you're taking this art and craft seriously, you want to have a signature look so that, you know, if these people are uploading your work of art online, you can go, oh, or people that are browsing the internet on various websites can go, that's that person. That's that same person in all these photos. Wow. Yeah. He's a serial bomber. And the best part is obviously the risk of getting caught.
Yeah.
With digital cameras, like I said, it's so easy to get caught because they can see it straight away after taking the photo. So be quick on your feet and run. I like the best photo bombers are the kind that are very explicit, very in your face. But the funny ones are also sometimes the subtle ones. Like I could just look like someone in a queue. Like if you're taking a picture of yourself at a club, for instance, Jade, I could be someone in the background. I could just pull a weird face. And sometimes it can be unintentional.
It can be unintentional.
I think a lot of the times, Jade, because you were saying, oh, who are the ones that are uploading these photos? Mm. Sometimes I think people take these photos and go, oh, that's a lovely shot. It's a shame that that person behind was yawning in such an ugly fashion. Really unfortunate. Let's upload this. So, yeah, I mean, there are plenty of websites out there. So if you are a photo bomber, get your work out there. Or if you...
Okay, so I'm talking about the podcast Sunday Night Safran, which is John Safran and Father Bob Maguire. So it's kind of a take on religion and politics and ethnic type issues. Mm. And I actually really like John Safran. And the reason why I like John Safran is I actually trace it back to what was his second program called John Safran versus God, where he did like this exploration of religion. So I don't know if I talk about it much on the show, but I'm not religious at all, but I'm really fascinated by religion and the reasons why people are religious. And this was like just this, I thought, like a really interesting take on religion. Anyway, so I listened to this show for similar reasons, because it basically every week they've just got a series of guests that cover every possible religion you can think of. So there's
Scientology's been done.
Yeah, Scientology is done very regularly. Like Scientology, actually, in the most recent podcast that I was listening to, John actually said, "I find Scientology is probably the one religion that still hasn't doesn't bore me. Like it's still yet to bore me because there's so much more that there is to find out." Right, whereas. So, but I find it really interesting to explore different religions from different point of views, and there's just all of this different stuff that you've never even heard of. Like there's this, a couple of weeks ago they talked to a guy who was from the Deaf Ministries International, and it was like, it's an evangelical church that was for deaf people. Like just anything that you can possibly imagine.
So what do they preach? Like, because being deaf is just one aspect of it. So, do you, or like...
So, everything's signed. Yeah. So, that's part of it is being part of the deaf community. Mm. But basically, it's just about evangelizing and
what,
giving...
What, Christian or...?
Yeah, it's Christian. Oh, okay, so, it's evangelical,
yep.
Christian.
That's right. Got it, yeah. Now. Yep.
You know, Seventh-day Adventist. Anything that can... possibly imagine, like, you know, there's a Seventh-day Adventist Samoan choir. Like these are bizarre things that just get thrown together,
really, like subgenres, yeah. And subcultures and specific communities. And I know that with the this particular podcast, anyway, the Sunday night show that he does, Sunday Night Safrans, it's actually a mix of religion and culture and race as well, and ethnicity as well. So,
yeah.
And often there is quite a very big marriage between those.
Yeah, well, and it's an interesting, like, because they do these kind of, they get into all of these philosophical discussions about things, but it's really quite funny. And some of the things that I find hilarious and interesting, most interesting about the show are the things that the show isn't actually about at all. Like, for example, John Safran comes across to me as, like, so socially awkward that his take on things I find really, really interesting, because as a socially awkward person, like, he will tell these stories about meeting people, you know, obviously he's quite famous, and meeting people and the way people expect him to react to them and all of that kind of stuff that I find, like, really fascinating as someone who's socially awkward, like, trying to figure my way through, like, those situations. Mm-hmm. And he'll tell these stories about, like, you know, how you're expected to sort of network and go out to all of these events. And he tells, like, rather than try and hide people's identities, he names people. It's like this name and shame of, like, what goes on behind the scenes. And, like, you know, he doesn't sort of hold back on what people do and say. Like, so in media that, outlets and circles.
So is that what you think is very interesting for a socially awkward person to do? Like, do you see it as something very ballsy?
I find it interesting to hear his interpretation of being someone who's socially awkward in that environment.
Mm.
Like, how you can kind of maneuver your way through those situations. Like, and I guess I kind of relate to it as someone who is socially awkward. But then the other thing that I find hilarious about the show is Father Bob, who's like a 75-year-old priest, who has like really bizarre kind of... He must get in so much trouble from his church.
Oh. Does he go on tangents and say inappropriate things?
Well, it doesn't seem like he's...
Because some elderly men do that.
Well, he's a Catholic priest and he doesn't seem to stand too close to any of the Catholic teachings as anyone knows them. And it might be that he's just very good at kind of playing devil's advocate almost, where he doesn't like kind of overtly state what his personal views are.
Yeah, some people are like that. Yeah,
yeah. But he, the other thing about him is that you can tell he like reminds you that it's a radio show, because he'll start talking about something and then he'll be like, oh, all right, I'm going to stop talking about that now because I'm waffling. Like, if you've ever been on radio and have been coached or had feedback about, like, your performance on radio,
yeah,
you're kind of used to hearing things that there's a certain art to what you're supposed to say. Like, you're supposed to make it sound natural.
Okay.
You're supposed to make the whole thing sound natural, but, despite the fact you and I sit here and have a conversation, it is somewhat of a crafted conversation.
You're making me very self-conscious about our art now, because for me, I just come in here and I talk. You know, I sit down with you, and I know that people, you know, listening online, I know that people are listening in their cars or wherever they are, or on a treadmill, God knows where. But it's you and me. So when he says, I'm waffling.
Yeah. So you can tell that what's happened is he's had some sort of session where he's had feedback.
He's been told.
Where he's told he waffles, or that he has to say things a certain way, or that he has to introduce it this way. And he like verbalizes all of this feedback into the show.
So I think you as a radio presenter, Jade, is enjoying this in a whole different way, because I think as a regular radio listener, or just anyone who doesn't have a radio training background, they would just go, oh, he's just waffling, and he's aware that he is waffling.
Yeah.
And I think you're just taking on it in a different way, because you're aware of actually there is an art form to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking of at the back of your mind.
Yeah, so it's like there's this really interesting content and concept to the show, which is like the idea of religion and politics and ethnicity and, you know, what's racism and, you know, what's the role of women in the Bible? What's this, you know, what's that? Like, let's talk about the afterlife and all of that kind of like really interesting stuff.
Is it presented in a – because I've never heard the show. I've actually never even seen his current TV show.
Because it's on a Wednesday night.
I know.
It's on right now. It's competing with us.
Yeah. No. If you're listening to us, you're much better. I congratulate you. Mm-hmm. But in any case, look, I'm always curious about John Safran. So I always wanted to know what his presenting style is like, because these are very dense topics. I would not talk about politics or religion at the dinner table at my boyfriend's parents' place. It's taboo. It's just, it's very hard to maneuver.
Well, I think...
Does he do it well?
I think he does it well, but I think... So Sunday Night Safran is purely, like, interview-based. They do have segments where it's just John and Father Bob sort of talking about different concepts or, you know, whatever's happening in the news. So a lot of the story is told through interview, but I think he's obviously very highly intelligent, and he's kind of got that very, like, you know, there's a lot of sort of sarcastic, you know, analytical stuff going on. And that's kind of where I think he that love hate thing comes in. Like, I think people, you know, either love or hate him based on those types of, you know, the way he responds or like tries to expose these, you know, expose the difference in
so
religion.
He what makes people uncomfortable?
Yeah, he does. He's very good at making people uncomfortable. His current show, I actually record it and watch it later, and I'll cover it in a couple of weeks. There's aspects that are unwatchable, absolutely unwatchable.
Really that bad? Yeah. Wow, I have to get into it. But thanks for sharing that with us tonight, Jade. That was your review of John Safran's Sunday Night Safran podcast, which I'm sure you can find online.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au. Artist, best character. Pop, artist, best character. Forget what you've heard and listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Okay, so I'm attempting to do a music review.
You do it well.
Yes.
Come on. You're passionate about this band. You picked this. Well, that boy James suggested it and you've jumped onto it. So
yes.
Let's have it.
I'm attempting to do young people music, Dave.
Jade, you're not that old.
I know. So Mumford & Sons, for those who don't know, are a sort of British folk rocky band. It's made up of Marcus Mumford, Winston Marshall, Ben Lovett, and Ted Duane.
I just ask, sorry to interrupt, but isn't Mumford a name of a Muppet?
Is it?
The name Mumford sounds so familiar.
It does sound familiar.
It rings from my childhood. I'm telling you, there's a cartoon character or a Muppets character called Mumford. And I'm just picturing bushy eyebrows.
Okay,
I don't know why.
If you've got insight into who Mumford is, just let us know. They formed sort of in late 2007 and were in the sort of folk scene around London that includes someone who I love, Laura Marling. So they've often supported Laura Marling at concerts. Their album that I'm going to review, So I Know More, is actually their debut album.
Mm-hmm.
That came out in October this year. So it's a bit old.
No, it's not. Come on, Jade.
And
it just because it wasn't released on November 23rd, like all the other pop records, yeah. I get you.
It actually peaked here in Australia, and I'm just guessing this is on the folk charts, at number 4.
We don't have a folk chart here.
Maybe indie chart?
It could just be the main charts because I have seen Mumford & Sons on our ARIA chart. It could well be our main charts.
What else
could it be? I mean, we don't, unless it's the AIR, but they're not really indie, so they wouldn't be on the AIR charts either. Mm. They're signed to Island Records, so, you know.
In any case, I was very surprised to read that.
Yeah, very, well, they could be quite big here, so without you really knowing.
I mean, they went to 11 in the UK, which is where they're from. The single that... I'm actually going to play the single tonight, which that's so bad of me.
Why are you slacking? Oh, you know, you're meant to be a bit subversive on Different Strokes.
Yes,
you're not meant to play the obvious single.
We've got to play the B-sides.
We do the B-sides or the album tracks, in case you didn't notice. That's our style.
So the single is called Little Lion Man, which is actually my favourite track of the whole album. It's so bad. So
there's nothing wrong with that, Jade.
To describe what the album actually like, it's kind of a country type sound with a bit more rock and folk involved.
And hear mandolins.
There is a lot of mandolins and kind of, you know, those alternative style, you know, instrumentations.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of angst.
In some parts, yeah. He's got a very gravelly kind of scary man voice.
There's this kind of... I found myself on an emotional roller coaster.
Really? With this album, yeah.
Yeah, because it was a bit like, you know, there's this kind of really deep introspective stuff going on, and then it kind of gets, you know, a bit more bouncy, and then it's back, you know, into this deep kind of, you know, doom and gloom type stuff.
There's quite a lot of breakup songs.
Yes, it's really kind of like, you know, I really like angst. I'm a big fan of angst.
And title of the album, Sigh No More. So you kind of maybe think, oh, there's an element of hope in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And there might be like one or two hopeful songs. But from what I heard today, you know, the new album does sound very kind of dark as well.
Yeah.
But do you think you have to be a real folk alternative fan to appreciate this album? Or do you think there's a pop crossover there?
I think there are, like, I think... And I prove you've actually listened to the whole album.
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
I think there is elements of it that's very got some real hooks in there that would appeal to a pop audience, but I don't know that it would be mainstream.
I don't actually believe this is a mainstream album at all. Really, I'm quite happy for it to stay just, you know, in a more indie crowd. It probably suits their following more.
I think it's challenging too. Like, it's a bit challenging. The music is very challenging, and I don't know that it's like something that you could listen to once and be like, oh, I love this.
I think you got to let this record grow on you.
Yeah.
The thing about Sia No More, and from a pop music consumer's perspective, I felt like this record, there's something very gritty about it.
Mm.
Maybe it's his vocals. There's something gritty about it. There's something unpolished, but yet very slick and professional. I love the instrument breakdowns.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you don't often get a lot of instrument breakdowns in pop songs.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, well, you cherish that moment in Britney's Toxic, where there's that crazy synth effect, where there's that breakdown. I'll play it for you one day,
Jay. I'm hearing it in my head, I think.
Yeah. So I love instrument breakdowns.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's quite a bit of them on the Mumford and Sons album.
Because you're afforded space in indie music too.
Yeah. So, and a lot of the songs are like over 4 minutes. So I think it's a record that you really have to let grow with.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? We'll let people listen to the album. We've picked 4 songs off the album.
Okay. Which 4 have you picked, Dave?
Ooh. Trying to remember off the top of my head.
Okay. How about I tell you my recommended tracks and then
okay,
we'll
tell me your recommended tracks.
My recommended tracks are Little Lion Man, Awake My Soul.
Yep.
White Blank Page.
Oh, yeah, got White Blank
Thistle
Page.
Thistle and Weeds.
No, don't have that.
Okay.
I've got 2 out of 4 that you recommended.
Not too bad.
Not too bad, given that I had my input in there as well.
Yes.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes album in the blend. Mumford and Sons, Sigh No More, White Blank Page.
Tell me now where was my fault in loving you with my whole heart? Oh, tell me now where was my fault in loving you with my whole heart. A white blank page and a swelling
Little Lion Man.
But it was not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I really fucked it up this time, didn't I, my dear? Didn't I, my dear? Yourself, my man, you know that you have seen this all before. Tremble, little lion man, you'll never settle any of your scores.
I gave you all.
How can you say that your truth is better than ours? Shoulder to shoulder, now, brother, we carry no arms. And the blind man sleeps in the doorway, his home. If only I had an enemy bigger than my apathy, I could have won.
The cave.
But I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck. And I'll find strength in pain, and I will change my ways. I'll know my name as it's called again.
That's the album. I liked it. I think it's very, it's kind of tough consuming. Mm. It's like, it's not an easy kind of, like, let's just listen to it once and kind of passively get involved.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of, you kind of have to really sit there and think about it and kind of indulge in it almost.
Mm.
Yeah, so I don't know that you can kind of just passively have it on in the background at all.
No, it's very confronting because the way he sings as well, the lead singer, the way he sings and the lyrical content as well, it can be very confronting.
Mm.
It's not background music. This ain't Jack Johnson.
No.
You know, it's confronting music. I think it would go great in a pub gig,
to be
honest.
It's not breezy Sunday afternoon music by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, you know, which I also have a soft spot for.
Yes,
so who knows? Maybe there is a chance for me to fit Mumford & Sons somewhere in my collection.
Yeah.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.